Welcome to the latest episode of the Apple at Work podcast. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host, joined today by two special guests as we're going to talk about all things Apple in the enterprise. This week we have Jason Detbarn from Adigy and Ben Grenier from Intivia, Director of Apple Technology. Ben, I got your last name right, correct?
It was close. Ben Griner with Intivia.
Yes, you told me before we started recording, and you know, just hey, one of those things.
No problem.
Jason has been on the show before. We'll link that in the show notes to talk about Adigy, obviously mobile device management system for the Apple platform. But tell us a little bit about what you do as your role of a director of Apple technology.
Yeah. So thank you, Bradley, and thanks for having me on the show. I enjoy listening to your podcast, and thank you for putting the effort into it. I really appreciate it. So for the last 20 plus years, I was president of Forget Computers, a managed service provider out of Chicago who was focused on the Apple platform since 1998. And last week, our company got acquired by Intivia, a national organization that is historically Windows focused, but they now see the value in the Apple platform, and they were looking to either build their own Apple team or acquire one, and they ended up acquiring Forget Computers. So that's how I became the director of Apple technology at Intivia.
So obviously we are, I even have said, I wonder if this is Apple's most impressive year in its history in some ways. I mean, you would think about it, in the face of a global pandemic, we still got massive hardware upgrades, massive software upgrades. And then Apple Silicon, which to me is, that one of the, up there with the iPhone in terms of like monumental shifts for the industry. Talk to us about, you know, how those of us that are outside of like, hey, we love to talk about technology, people that are actually using it, how has Apple been viewed this year? Among its customers.
How has it been viewed amongst its customers? You know, I think everyone always has such a high bar for Apple. It's really hard for them to always meet those expectations, despite the fact that pretty much every year they come out with amazing new technology. In fact, yesterday they just came out with their long anticipated over the ear AirPod Pros. So it's constantly changing, and I'm honestly not sure how people view Apple. That's a very good question. It's been a great year for them, and it's been a great run for them. I'm still surprised when I talk to some organizations who don't take the platform seriously, whether it's on Mac or iOS, at least in the business world. But I think that's also, clearly going away. I mean, for years, we did not have a sort of a seat at the table because we were Apple focused, a seat at the table of IT, corporate IT. And that's no longer the case.
Yeah, I do feel like this Apple Silicon transition is going to really refocus that conversation again. I mean, we saw when Apple came off of PowerPC, that helped them in the enterprise because you could then virtualize Windows on the Mac, and really in the past couple of years, because of the rise of software as a service and web apps, it's been easier than ever to integrate the Mac into enterprise environments because it's no longer, you often don't have these like legacy custom applications you're trying to run. Most things are just now in the web, or even a lot of Electron apps. So it's like as native apps have mattered less, it's been easier to integrate Apple in. But now that we're seeing such huge performance gains and battery gains with Apple Silicon, like to me, the conversation is even easier now. No, it's not Intel anymore. It's not, no longer a Me Too with better software. It's a better hardware processor. It is just different. Jason, among y'all's customer base, what are you guys hearing about the Apple M1 and how's the excitement about that?
I think people are excited, but I don't think they really have felt the impact of what this means yet either. I think there's multiple pillars to Apple Silicon. So as you say, the power management it's like the weight of a car. You start tearing pieces away and it just gets better performance if we're just looking at that metric. So, you know, less thermal. The fans are very rarely getting above idle when they're cranking at 100%. So you don't need as much requirements there on the computer, on the chassis. The board is tiny now, it's system on chip. So you now have a lot of blockers that Apple had torn away for them to do and build a lot of innovation into these Macs than they ever had before. And it was literally 4 years ago, we had a lot of deeper talks about Apple potentially end-of-lifing the Mac. I mean, they had really invested in the pipeline. We just didn't see that pipeline starting to really come together. But yeah, you have that huge change of performance, but then you have higher security capabilities because they're building this directly into their chips with their software. You have other aspects they've done really, really well on the iPhone to be able to do better graphics and gaming and everything else built directly onto that single chip. We're going to see, we really haven't seen much innovation on the general PC for over a decade, the general purpose processor that it is. And it's really going to be game changing. But people, all the articles that are out there are around performance and it's compelling. But you know, Windows running virtualized on the Mac right now is faster than native Windows on Surface Pros and everything else. It's crazy.
Switching gears here, Big Sur is now available. And I love and hate Apple OS release time. It's great. It's exciting.
Yes.
But it's also, you know, and I people have different opinions. I'm of the mindset in the enterprise, unless you need to upgrade on day one, don't. Because you're going from the most stable version of one operating system to the least stable version of the next one. But I know on the flip side, you can't hang on forever because of security updates. But Apple's been very good about patching exploits, patching Safari, obviously things like Chrome continue to get updated. So I actually, in some ways, just this week, we had two machines that were having very small issues in our office. And as part of my troubleshoot technique, upgraded to Big Sur. Problem solved. Why those problems were fixed, I'll never know, but they were fixed. They were basically the computers were restarting like once a day, like randomly, and when they were asleep. And, you know, tried turning off power nap, all the things, but upgrading to Big Sur fixed it. So what has the experience for you all been with Big Sur rollout, installation, and then day-to-day usage?
Yeah, I mean, Bradley, I totally appreciate your comment about the kind of love-hate relationship you have with Apple OS upgrades. And you may remember there was a time when Apple charged for those upgrades. And I can't remember what year that was when they surprised everyone with a free Mac OS upgrade. But it really did surprise everyone, especially in the IT world, because suddenly there was no barrier to entry for anyone on day one to go out and get that upgrade. And I must admit, we scrambled that year because we have a lot of clients with a lot of complex workflows that really, to your point, it's very dangerous to be changing the operating system before you're ready, before the team's ready, before it's been communicated, before it's been tested. And we have people doing that. And then we have people coming to us as frontline support desk saying, can you fix this? And we were just dealing with it as it came across our desk. So Apple lives, I'll say this politely, Apple lives in a fantasy world that we would all love to live in when it comes to OS upgrades. And our clients expect that world, and we do the best we can, which means we do the best we can to prepare for something like Big Sur. And we worked closely with Adigy and their team to prepare for Big Sur. But we're not actually promoting it in a work environment today for the very reasons you mentioned at the beginning.
Well, and then two, you know, that is my mindset. That's definitely my mindset. But I always then I go to what if you were buying a new Mac today? And I did, you know, I purchased a couple of new Macs at our office that have come with Big Sur. So that's the balance of. You have to figure out a way to kind of support things And it is easier today than it was 10 years ago. You have to figure out a way to support things while not saying, hey, everybody should do this today. It's going to change your life. Because even just little workflows like how you AirPlay in Big Sur is different. And that seems small. Mm-hmm. But if you're supporting 1,000 people that use AirPlay, well, that creates a lot of questions. But you do have to be there ready to figure something out as new machines are deployed.
This episode of the Apple at Work podcast is sponsored by 9to5 Max repair services for schools and enterprises. If you have a fleet of Macs, iPads, iPhones, even Chromebooks that you need to get repaired either in bulk or on an ongoing basis as repairs come up, check out the link in our show notes to learn about a special partner that we've are working with to enable enterprise repairs, again, for K-12, healthcare, anything in between. Very, very easy, very reputable official parts. So check it out in the show notes. It's the 9to5 Mac repair services for your schools and businesses.
Right, right. You're right. It's getting easier. And that point about buying a new Mac that comes with a new operating system, that's really what pushes a lot of people over the edge, meaning they need to go in that direction. They cannot wait. And so we'll try to help our clients. You know, if they need to buy computers, let's buy them before the next OS release that we know is coming. And if they're not prepared for that, then they just have to deal with it, which means they're going to have to deal with that new OS. There really is no going back. We used to downgrade machines when we could. That's getting harder and harder for security reasons. Apple's not allowing that. It is a frustration. I do wish Apple would be a little friendlier in the space of the enterprise and the business machines, where just give us a little more time once you've released it. Give us a choice. It's really kind of forced on us, and that is a criticism I have of Apple. And I'm sure.
Well, you could almost see where the argument might be from a purchasing perspective. If I'm buying a new machine today, let's say obviously Apple Silicon is a different animal, but let's say correct. Next year, let me pick, like around this time, like let me pick, I want Catalina or Big Sur sort of thing. Like right. Let me pick and I want renew. Jason, what are you guys seeing from a high level MDM perspective with Big Sur rollouts? Are you seeing your customers upgrade? Or are you seeing them hold back?
So traditionally, especially the last two upgrades have been pretty big, harsh changes. So the vast majority of our customers use a feature within our platform to hold the operating system and doesn't allow people to upgrade until they're ready. And they've always pretty much waited till the calendar year was over with, get through the end of the year, and then January start rolling out. That's been the cadence typically. When we start getting the first betas in July, we make them available and start testing in production. I think that's a very different model than people are used to. So when a lot of the industry talks about day zero, which actually Apple frowns upon that actual terminology, we have been testing in production in the production cloud environment with hundreds and hundreds of beta versions from our customers, and validating everything for a long time before the full release comes out. So we were very, very well prepared for Big Sur, as we always have been in previous releases. The difference is Big Sur on M1. And I've got some customer scenarios I can talk about. I got allowance from them to talk about, and we can explain a little bit how people have been experiencing their M1 environments and how we're staying ahead of it. But
let's absolutely let's get into that. And I think one of the things too to keep in mind here is this is really the first rollout where the vast majority of, certainly here in the U.S., if not worldwide, people are not in the office. And so some percentage of operating systems upgrades always go poorly, and restoring from that when you can't get physical access to the machine is tricky. Jason, talk to us about MDM and M1.
So again, on the Intel side of Big Sur, it's been working quite well. But when we look at M1, we were lucky to ensure that we had M1 based devices from Apple to test with very early on in the beta cycles. So we got exposure in through that process. One of our customers gave us permission to talk about this, a company called Bamboo HR. They got, I believe, the first M1 chips, at least through our portfolio, like almost 3 weeks ago, they got the first M1 machines. And Just so you know, the what's the virtualization tool again? Rosetta 2. So Rosetta 2 is it's not actually pre-installed, but everybody's going to need it because anything they're running is going to have some level of Intel base. So you whenever you get a Big Sur machine, especially for M1, you're going to have to install that on the machine. And then a lot of Intel-based device operations are crashing on it. So that's something that people are working through. I don't think Rosetta 2 was tested to the level of apps that are out there. So it's a challenge. And then natively, for Bamboo HR, a lot of the security software they use really has to hook into the right level of the OS. And those are not working. And the vendors are struggling to keep up with that. So at the end of the day, it's not just the MDMs, but really all the major tools you need. Your security team needs to ensure that the security software they expect is run on all machines. We have to wait until that last vendor, the slowest vendor, finishes what they're meaning to do. So that's been the challenge. But of course, you need that Big Sur capability with M1 to really unlock all that power. And it's coming along at a good pace, but it's a challenge.
Well, this reminds me a lot. Like I always talk when I talk to people about like website management now, I say, look, it used to be where you would publish a website article and it would just be there. People would go to it and they could view it. Now you publish an article, it hits Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. So you have to make sure that works. Then it hits Apple News. Then it hits RSS. Then it has to be AMP native. And then it has to like be optimized for Google News. Like it's every time you want to upgrade something, you have to worry about these like tentacles that come out of it and where that goes. And it's in much the same way with computers. Apple did this. We transitioned to Apple Silicon and it works great. But then it's like, okay, we have Rosetta here. And that works great, but doesn't work perfectly. And it'll probably get better. But then we have to manage MDM. And how do we, there's all these edge cases, which all are edge cases, but they all compile to be tricky. And just because something is an edge case doesn't make it any easier to tell a user, hey, sorry, this just doesn't work and I can't fix it. That's the hard thing about this time period is there are going to be things that may not work and you don't have a way to fix it and your vendor is not ready to fix it. Because none of us were ready for Apple Silicon. Ben, how do you guys handle that with your clients when there's something like on the Apple platform that is either a major Apple bug or a bug with a third-party application? How do you guys work through that?
Yeah, good question. I always say the problems that we run into are really more communication problems than technology problems because most of technology problems can be explained, even if you don't like the answer. But people will get frustrated if it's not communicated to them and the expectations are not set properly. So M1 is a good example. Today we always recommend clients consult with us before buying new equipment. And if they did, we would say, look, the M1 chip is going to be great. But today, you can see Apple put those chips in their entry-level machines. These are entry-level machines that we typically would never recommend to a client, especially in a creative professional production environment. So we recommend you hold off and get the non-M1 Apple and see where that goes. Now, the downside is not everyone listens to that advice. So we will, we'll get surprised, and we already have been with some M1 computers. And at that point, it's just a matter of us doing our best to educate them around why they're running into, some issues.
Yeah, and David? I think education is the key part. Jason, what has been your advice to your clients? I know you all do a lot of work with managed service providers now. How is that kind of wading through this kind of tricky troubleshooting period been?
I mean, we give them the insider knowledge of ensuring that they install Rosetta and everything else they need to help do their job. But we have to be, beyond fully prepared. So ensuring that all of our stuff runs natively on all the machines, we're staying a step ahead to ensure that they can support whatever they need out there. Like, again, Bamboo HR had 15 M1-based machines that came in, and they're not able to put them in production because all the security software is not up to speed yet. But they have to be ready, and we were fully prepared and everything is working for them. So they have confidence at least on that side of it. So we have to be ahead of the curve with everything that's necessary. That's what is mm-hmm. both the good and the bad. Apple really decides, look, Moore's Law, we have to get to this level of features, capability, performance, et cetera. And there's going to be, you know, a few broken bones along the way, but they're going to get there, and it's going to get there quickly. So we all know that that will happen, but the more people that get M1 based laptops, the faster they'll make it more and more robust. But I'm excited. The machines do last, like the battery life is totally insane on them.
Yeah, I do think we're in this very weird spot. And I imagine 6 months from now, the concerns that we have or the frustrations some people are having are completely gone. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't negate the fact that if you're buying Macs today and you have issues to keep them from being deployed, that doesn't make them not real problems. And if you have people that need computers, you can't wait 6 months to get key applications. I'm sure we'll get to a point where maybe from the MDM perspective, you can even block Rosetta applications. Maybe you can even say, I'm just even thinking like long-term, you know, mm-hmm. that may be something you not even want to run. So guys, as we kind of wrap up here, any parting thoughts on Big Sur and the enterprise? Ben, I'll let you go first.
Well, I, you know, you heard me say earlier, we're still not recommending Big Sur in the enterprise. I think everyone has to remember that just because, you know, Big Sur may be fantastic at home, the workflows and the environment that you're in a team atmosphere is much different. And you need to plan that and communicate that and prepare for that. And that's been one of the great things working with Adigy is they've been very helpful and communicative in getting our issues resolved around the beta testing of Big Sur. So we are prepared, but that being said, there's some things we have no control over. And those involve third-party applications or maybe even some bugs left in the Apple OS. So I would say hold off, as Jason said, until at least early next year. I mean, the holidays are busy enough to begin with. Let's not throw a new OS upgrade in the middle of that and see how things pan out. So check back with me in early Q1 about our recommendation for Big Sur.
Jason, what about you? Any parting thoughts on Big Sur? Like it, love it, hate it?
I like it. There's still a few bugs that we're dealing with in Big Sur that make it a bit annoying overall. But our whole organization, kind of an enforced eat-your-own-dog-food model, we can't support our customers mm-hmm. unless everybody's running Big Sur. So it's forced upon everybody at Adigy. I think the ones that really have to take a big pause, and they probably already know this, are companies that use very you know, production studios and others that use software that just will not be updated at the pace that you can expect, and you really have to take a big pause and watch there. But just strap on and watch the innovations roll. One thing that Apple has done a great job of with their phones is just building more and more software, hardware capability directly into that stack that nobody else can compete with. So I'm excited about 2021, and that Big Sur OS will really enable those M1 chips to do some pretty magical things.
Yeah, and I'd like to add, if I could, Bradley, I am super excited about the MDM functionality of Big Sur and just the ability to have a device supervised without going through Apple Business Manager. I think it'll be a huge benefit to IT teams in the enterprise.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'll put a link in the show notes that kind of talks about some of the new changes to MDM on Big Sur. Lots of great things. Ben, Jason, thanks for coming on the show today. We'll have links to both of your companies in the show notes, so if people want to check them out, they can do that. And as always, if you're listening on the web, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to everybody soon.